welcome back for another episode of Something About Our 20s. I'm your host, Micaiah Davis, and today we are talking about all the feelings that we feel in our 20s with a special guest, Vanessa Massoon. So I'm just going to give a quick introduction about you and your work and what you do. So Vanessa serves as the Director of Communications and Media at Cincinnati-based Lightship Foundation, where she develops and directs communication strategies and manages media relations. Her development of their mission-focused narrative around executing social impact while pursuing profits is the cornerstone of Lightship Capital's brand identity and has been highlighted in industry publications ranging from Wall Street Journal to Business Insider. Vanessa also leads marketing communication workshops for entrepreneurs through Lightship Bootcamp. I love that.
I do.
Previous to joining Lightship, Vanessa led communications and content strategy at Miami-based face recognition provider, Kairos. There, she created the first public-facing guidances around the technology, co-authored pioneering social justice editorials around algorithmic bias, and led the company to recognition via features in industry publications like TechCrunch and Biometric Update, in addition to mainstream media, including New York Times and BBC.
That sounded fancy as fuck.
That's a lot. I don't know. You seem successful to me.
Well, I have monetized the talent, everybody.
You have. Well, hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Micaiah.
Welcome to Something About Our 20s.
Thank you.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling like it's a vibe around here.
Okay.
I like it, yeah.
It is.
It's cool here. We are here today. We are at the Frank Lloyd Wright Bolter House in Cincinnati, which is real cool.
And it's beautiful here. I love the space. And you said this was built when?
This house was completed in 1956. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it at all.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, I'm so happy to have you as a guest on the show.
Well, let's talk, Micaiah.
Let's talk about
it. Talk about our 20s.
So let's talk about our 20s.
Let's do it.
Okay. First, let's take it back to Vanessa in her 20s. Tell me about who Vanessa was. What were her aspirations? And did you know what you wanted to do career-wise? Let's go through it all. Who was Vanessa in her 20s? What was she like?
Vanessa, in her early 20s, was lost in the sauce. Vanessa, in her mid-20s, was scraping it together. Vanessa, in her late 20s, was highly professionally driven, still very personally lost in the sauce. So I spent a lot of my 20s really just trying to figure out how to be out here in the world.
And when you say lost in the sauce, explain that to me.
I mean, like, okay, so I had a real wild upbringing, so I didn't have a super great foundation. So for me, my life through my 20s was kind of like just really figuring it out, like feeling my way in the dark, low key. So, yeah.
Feeling like you didn't really have any guidance.
Yeah, no real guidance. No real direction other than, like, I mean, I've always known I was intelligent. I never had, like, you know, terrible self-esteem issues. So I was just all, like, my whole energy through my 20s was like, I mean, I'm gonna be all right. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'll be okay.
That's good you were positive, because I don't think a lot of us have that positivity at all. So where did that positivity come from? How did you continue to make sure that you instilled that within yourself as you went on throughout your 20s?
Girl, I don't know. It lived inside me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I had to feel that way. I wasn't, you know, some of my friends were very, they were going to college and getting master's degrees, and I didn't go back to school full-time seriously until I was 25. And, you know, previous to that, I just kind of like working jobs. And, I mean, I always got money. But, like,
right, okay.
You feel me? I just didn't really know what it is I wanted to do. I think that I was really honestly what you would call, like, a late bloomer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you said you didn't really go to school until you were 25.
I was 25 when I went back to school, yeah.
So in our 20s, we typically compare ourselves to
yes.
our friends and to other people, especially now with social media. Like, comparison is really the thief of joy. So how did you deal with seeing other people that have graduated, got their master's, and you were just starting school at 25, figuring it out. How did you get through that, seeing other people, or did it not bother you?
Micaiah, I think that I just was born with this, like, blissful ignorance that has continued to allow mm-hmm. me to bobble along in life completely unconcerned and unbothered by what other people are doing. So, yeah, that's, like, my response to that. I didn't really think too much about, like, what other people were doing. However, when I turned 25, I started to feel this, like, urgency. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, like, I'm going to be 30, right?
Yeah.
We talked about that. Like, yes. You feel that. When you turn 25, all of a sudden, 30 becomes so real and close. And you start to panic a little bit. Like, okay, what's my direction? Like, what am I doing? And that caused me personally to make some very, like, permanent choices around some very temporary situations. We won't even get in all that. But, like, I feel like the moral of the story is, like, it's the devil, dude. Like, don't let it get you. That pressure that you feel at 25 is the devil, bro. Don't let it take you down, Micaiah. Don't let it get you.
The devil is coming for me.
Don't fucking let it get you.
Yeah, and we were just talking about this. So I told everyone I just turned 25 in October. And I've been feeling internally, I've been freaking out. Like, it's just too much too soon. The pressure, I could feel it. And I've seen other people talk about it too, about turning 25 and how, like, okay, yeah, it's time to really, let's get it going. Like, yeah, the life choices that I'm making, it seems more serious now. Like, 25 is a little bit too serious for me. And I don't feel like I've stepped into the, oh, I'm an adult yet. Like, internally, I don't feel that yet. I feel like I'm getting there, but 25 makes it feel like I should be like, yeah, I'm
don't feel that pressure. Because let's start here. You turn 25 and you think, oh my God, I'm about to be 30. I'm going to be 30 soon. Let's talk about that. 30 is still young as shit.
It is.
But to someone 20, 30 is not young. Mm. To 20, when you're 25, because you've thought that 30 is, like, low-key old, you're like, oh, shit, I'm finna be 30. 30 is very young, okay? Like, if you're literally just getting your life started at 30, that's okay, too. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like the pressure of it all. The pressure of your mid-20s is something that I would like for y'all to just be like, oh, the devil is a lie. Nope, the devil's a lie. I'm still young as shit.
Yeah.
Figuring it out. That's okay. We also discussed stay home with your people if you can for that as long as you can.
That's a big one because I feel like there's this thing when we get a little older, we want to move out so fast. Now, I still live at home. A lot of people have moved out because they feel staying at home in your 20s, why am I doing that? But I think you should save your money for as long as you can.
I agree wholeheartedly. If your home situation is healthy, not toxic or dysfunctional. I know that it low-key sucks sometimes because, like, you want to have your own space and you want to do what you want to do, and when you're at home or you're with your people, like, you have to follow, like, their rules low-key, like, and that's irritating. But when we talk about goals, right, when you talk about 30, imagine you're 30 and you've just been saving your money your whole 20s.
You got it.
You feel me? And then you could just, like, move out and live your whole actual life and not be out here, like, scrambling and struggling.
And I think it's a stigma that comes with people that still live at home in their late 20s. Like, say you're 29 and you tell somebody you live at home, they're like, dang, you still live at home? Why is that a problem?
That's a ridiculous narrative.
Why are we making that a thing?
That is a ridiculous narrative that is very American.
It is.
It's very American.
It is.
Yeah, most people in other cultures don't subscribe to that. They stay home actually till they, like, get married a lot of times. That could be 33, 35, like, yeah, and, like, no one thinks anything of it. So that's very American and very stupid as far as I'm concerned.
It is. I think it's stupid, too. I think people should just do what's best for them.
Yes, absolutely yes.
So what were your aspirations when you were in your 20s? I know you said you were figuring it all out. Did you know what you wanted to do?
I think I was very focused on getting money.
Yes.
I really just don't even know what I hate to sound like a rap song from the 90s, but like that was my focus. I was focused on figuring out ways to earn money, saving money. I was very focused on money in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s and probably till the day I die. But like when I was in my 20s, like I said, I didn't go back to school until I was 25. And the writing, the communications, that wasn't something I aspired to. Like I didn't go to school for it. When I was in school, my concentration was initially international studies with a focus on like, I took a lot of foreign language, Arabic, Spanish. Mm-hmm. I just am like interested in a bunch of shit like that. So mostly for school for me was less about like, I have this end goal of this is what I'm gonna do and more about like, these are the things I'm interested in. So this is what I'm gonna study.
So you said that you went back to school at the age of 25.
I did.
Tell me about your goal for going back to school. What made you wanna go back?
So we talked about the pressure at the halfway point in your 20s, right? So I was working a really good job. My first husband, I was working for his mom. She had an early intervention agency, and I was doing, like, case management for her.
Pause. Okay. What age did you get married?
The first time I was married, I was 22.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
He was a great guy, but like that's way too young to get married. He was a little older than me, but like 22 is like way too young to get married.
I had an episode about that.
Did you?
And there were a few people that were married when they turned like 22 to 23.
Yeah.
And they said if you found the person that you love at that young age, why would you wait?
That's cute, but like marriage is a whole nother conversation. Like we live in 2024, damn near. Like marriage is a whole nother.
That's a big
cultural
step.
Conversation. Yeah. I wouldn't advise it, but like if you're into it, like do what you like. So I started to kind of like feel like, okay, I had a great job. Everything was cool, but I was like, shit, what am I doing? Like, maybe I should go back to school. Cause I started school. I tried school when I was like 19, but I didn't take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. And the way that I came upon the communication stuff is that an English professor pulled me to the side after class in like a 102 English class and was like, hey, like you are really a talented writer. He nominated me for the National Honor Society and he told me that if I wanted to have a professional career as a writer that I could likely do that. Mm-hmm. And I thought like, well, shit, okay. Well, cause I'm hood. I was like, all right, right? So for the next like 2 years, I was writing college papers for money. And I was like getting money doing it. And then I met this hedge fund guy and started doing brand messaging for startups. And that's how it started. So yeah, I was like 26 when I started started this work, really.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
It's like it just kind of fell into your lap.
It did.
A little bit.
As most of my opportunities have, honestly. I wish I had a more concentrated, deliberate story to tell. I really don't.
I think that shows that we think that we can plan out our life in our 20s and do it step by step, but it really seems like it does not happen that way. Like, different things will just come, and if you try it, maybe something will come from that. So it's kind of all about trying stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like if anything, that's the energy that I want to kind of like pass to people in their 20s, including my own children. I have a 25-year-old son, okay, and an 18-year-old son, and everybody's journey is not the same. You just got to do what works for you. Listen, I love, appreciate, admire, and have a great deal of respect for people in their 20s. Or people out of high school, people in their 20s who are like, I want to be this. And this is the road to that.
Yes.
And this is what I'm going to do to get there. And I have these goals and I'm achieving them. I'm like, well, shit. Like, yeah to that, right?
I wish.
Yeah, but like, that is not my life in my 20s. That was not my life in my 30s. That is not my life in my 40s. And I can't see that ever being my life. So I just, you know, I guess I just live in the spirit of like, I'm gonna be all right. The opportunity is gonna come. I'm like a shark, but I just keep moving. Mm-hmm. And what's for me is gonna find me. and
what's not, it wasn't meant.
Period.
I live for that. And I don't think I asked you your age. So how old are you?
I'm 45 okay. years old.
And don't look it.
Yes. Well, thank you.
So a lot of people say something clicks when you turn 25. Can you think of one thing that you started to think differently about as you entered your mid or late 20s? And this can be for friendships, relationships, self-work, anything. Why you think I can point mine out?
Yes.
I think since I just turned 25, I'm kind of like super big on boundaries now.
Okay.
I don't feel like I had any. Yeah. Not one.
Yeah.
And I thought I did. Like, I used to walk around saying, oh, no, like, I have boundaries. I never had one. And I think I'm learning that now because I'm paying attention to the way that people treat me. That goes for relationships yes. and friendships. And now I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of trying to stand on that. So I'm thinking differently about what I'm putting up with, if that makes sense.
I love that for you.
Yeah. It's a process. Boundaries hard, but I'm trying.
I love that for you. Mm-hmm. I will say this. Because I was 25 20 years ago, okay, you have to think of how things have changed culturally since then. And there have been a lot of change. I mean, you just talk about like social media, the internet. I feel like there's just so much more information available to everybody, like self-help and... Yes. You know what I mean? Like,
bad
boundary.
Information. Yeah. Bad information, too.
Yeah, yeah. All the information, the good stuff, the bad stuff, all of it. I just don't, at 25, I feel I was, like, way less, like, self-aware than people are 25 and self-aware now. I was not that self-aware at 25.
That's true, because it is yeah. at our fingertips. Like, it's right
yeah,
there.
Like, yeah, there was no, like, influencer culture. Like, you couldn't, yeah. like, click and be, like, the affirmations, the meme. Listen, I subscribe to meme culture personally. Like, the algorithm knows me. I'm like, yeah, fuck this, get money. Like, I subscribe to it. You know what I'm saying? You don't deserve that, you know? Do better. Like, it's like, the internet can be a scary place, but it can also be a very fucking, like, affirming and wonderful place.
It can.
Right?
If you're looking at the right stuff.
Yes. Yes. So I just feel like I was not at all as self-aware as most people I find now that are in their 20s. I will say that.
So let's get into dating. Dating is a big part of our 20s.
Uh-huh.
How was your dating life when you were in your 20s?
Busy.
Okay.
Okay.
Roster.
Yeah, yeah. I had a roster, a couple of husbands. I was doing a lot in my 20s. Girl, had a lot going on.
So you got married when you were 22.
22, yep.
And then after that.
We stayed together about 3 years. Then I got married again at 27. Okay. Yes. And then, yeah, and that lasted probably 4 years. Yeah, into my, like, early 30s. So, yeah, I had a couple of husbands, a couple of boyfriends. My 20s were, I was very, let me tell you something. I wasn't very career-focused to my mid-20s, but I was very focused on, like.
Love.
Yeah, yeah. My coworker, actually, she's Lexi. Hey, Lexi. She says all the time, like, I'm, like, basically collect husbands like Infinity Stones. So. We'll see about that.
So do you think that that was because you're, like, so big on love and you just found so many people that you were compatible with? Or what kind of was it? Because the dating pool is kind of crazy out here now, and I just can't imagine finding people that I could connect with, like, having the opportunity to find so many
really?
People that I connect with in my 20s. No, I mean, I've only found...
Maybe it's That's wild out here. Or maybe I was just dumb. I don't know. Like, you know.
Or maybe it was a different time.
And that too. Like, yeah. No. Well, I don't know about that, Makai. But I will say that, like, I never. Okay. So now it's like a dating show. I never, like, there's, like, never been a shortage for me of, like, of men who people would consider good men. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Libra energy. Like,
it is.
You know it.
It is.
So honestly, you know, I had a real, like, kind of rough childhood and, like, not a very strong foundation. So I was just always like, yeah, like, okay. you know, I married twice in my 20s, but I mean, I certainly didn't marry every man who wanted to marry me in my 20s,
right?
Right? So, yeah, I had a good time of it. I don't regret any of it. If I had it to do over again, I probably would at this point be way more focused on my professional life and less on my personal life. I think that's also a pressure you start to feel in your mid-20s, like partnership and, yeah, like working toward marriage or, you know what I'm saying? Like when you start to approach 30, or like, well, what about children? And like,
no,
just focus on that money.
So what would you say is one thing that you learned the Vanessa when she was dating in her 20s? And what did you learn about love in your 20s, or relationships, or men?
I learned a lot. I did learn about a lot about myself in my 20s. How you were mentioning, like, you learned about you're learning mm-hmm. about boundaries, mm-hmm. okay? I learned about what felt right to me as love, right? Like what I considered love, what they call now, again, the internet, love languages.
Love languages, yes.
What are your love languages, right? So yeah. I learned a lot about my love languages through my marriages and through my 20s. Yeah.
So what advice would you give to those dating right now?
Learn your love languages, mm-hmm. okay? If you love a lot of attention, right? Don't be with someone who you have to shake down for that.
Yeah, a nonchalant
yeah.
person.
Mm-hmm. If you like cash gifts,
okay.
Don't be with someone who's broke.
Yeah.
And don't be with someone who's money and is stingy.
So don't settle.
Don't settle. Every single thing you want. And I'm gonna say this, in my 40s, I learned this in my 30s, right? My mid 30s, just say what you want. Mm. Say what you want, because I live by this. The worst thing anyone can say to you is no. Then what? That's professionally, that's personally, that's my whole life I live like that. If I want something, it doesn't matter how absurd it is, right? What's somebody gonna say? When I first started, I was in my late 20s when I started billing at $100 an hour, right? Mm-hmm. That seemed like crazy to me in my late 20s. Like, shit, are people gonna pay me $100? Like, are they gonna pay me $100 an hour? So the first time a client wanted to, you know, retain me, and I thought, like, okay, I'm gonna do it. Like, I was scared, right? Because that's the thing, too, professionally, when you're young. Like,
yes, you're scared to
learning
ask
professional
for anything.
Boundaries.
You're scared to speak
yes.
up. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a thing. So I was like scared, and I was like, oh my God, like, they're gonna be like, are you fucking crazy? I'm not giving you that, right? So I'll never forget that first client. And I said, my rate is $100 an hour. And they were like, fantastic. And ever since, professionally, personally, I say what I want. And when you say what you want and you're out front about what you want, then you're either going to get it or you're not. But in either case, you won. So
yeah.
Yeah. So when you're in your 20s, don't be so scared. You're a little scared of older people in your 20s a little bit, right?
It's like I don't know if it's an intimidation thing. I don't think it's that. I think it's just when you interact with someone who's older, it's like people try to little girl you, a little boy you, or if it's a guy. So it's kind of like this anxiousness that comes with it when speaking to someone who's older, because it's assumed that they have more wisdom.
Yeah,
so
that's it. It's not fear. It's anxiety.
Yes, I think that's what it is for sure.
It is.
Especially in professionally.
Yes.
Negotiating and all of that stuff.
Yes.
When it comes to talking about money and all of those things and advocating for yourself, it's hard.
No, be respectful, but know your worth. That's like another thing. I feel like sometimes a lot of older people will like be low-key hateful toward younger people. That's a thing.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Instead of being open.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Instead of helping and like and forming like friendships and relationships with younger mm-hmm. people. They're low-key standoffish, especially amongst women, but that's a whole nother podcast, honey.
It is, for sure, because there's layers to that.
Many, many, so yeah.
So we're gonna play a quick little game.
Okay.
Fill in the blank.
Okay.
I can't believe I blank when I was in my 20s.
Got married so many times. Go ahead.
I wish I would have blank in my 20s.
Appreciated and enjoyed being so youthful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm looking back at 21-year-old me, and I'm like, I should have soaked in the moment when
you never get that back.
Now I'm going to soak
You never get that back. And that never ends either, because right now I'm 45, and I'm not, when I was 25, I was worried about being 30. When I was 35, I didn't feel as much pressure at 35 as I did at 25, but I still was like, oh, fuck, I'm like coming up on 40, like blah, 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 blah. Now at 45, I'm like, I will never be this young again. Mm-hmm. I will never be this hot again.
Okay.
I'm not spending time thinking about what's happening 5 years from now. I'm just not. I'm here. I'm in the moment. And that's where it's at. So you're 25 right now, be 25. Don't think about being 30. Don't think about that. You're 25, be 25. That's Live in 25. Okay, next.
I appreciated the blank about my 20s.
The litness, because all the times I got married, and even still, like, right? It was wild. Like, I partied still. Like, so I had a lot of fun in my 20s.
Yes.
I don't want to make it seem like I was just all, like, tied down and it was shitty and bad. Like, it was fantastic. I had a great time in my 20s.
Yeah. I'm definitely embracing that.
Your 20s are very cute, very cool, especially if you have a good profession or you're, like, earning money and, like, you can do things. Like, yeah, my 20s was great. Fantastic.
Don't sit in that house. Get out.
My 20s was great. Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, I love that. So now we're going to get into your journey a little bit.
Okay.
So when did you start to feel like you were on the right path career-wise? Like, what was it that clicked that made you feel like, okay, I'm onto something here. I'm doing something now.
That opportunity that I got at around 27.
Mm-hmm.
That opportunity I got around 27, I loved the work. I still love the work. I mean, I do a lot more than that now, but I still love working with entrepreneurs and helping them, like, develop their brand messaging. We do a lot of that at Lightship, especially with the portfolio companies. I really do love that work. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't stop feeling like I was faking it until I made it, until I was, like, well into my 30s. I don't know.
Really?
Remember what I'm telling you? Like, I feel like it just never stops. Like, there's no point for me, and I'm like off topic maybe, but like there was, you feel in your 20s like there's some magic age where you're like maybe 35, where you're like, I'm an adult.
Yes.
I know how to adult. I know all the things. I'm not confused anymore. I'm not lost anymore. That's false. I don't want to discourage anyone or be like a Debbie Downer. Because it's not a downer, right? It's not negative. You're constantly learning, constantly growing. So at 25, I was like, well, shit, what am I going to do about 30? I don't know how to be 30. At 45, I'm like, I don't fucking know how to be 50. The difference is I'm not worried about that shit. I'm just like, I'm here now, right here, right now, making what I consider to be good choices about my finances, because that's where it's at. Whatever you're doing personally, fuck it up, okay? Whatever, you can rebound from it.
With that money.
Monetize a skill. Mm-hmm. Save some money if you can. Focus. Don't fuck that up. Anything else can be negotiated, honestly, and will. I'd feel real sad and scared right now if I was, like, sitting here broke and fucked up, okay?
I would be too.
Yes. You feel me?
But I think to your point, like, in our 20s, we're thinking that the constant question of when am I going to figure it out or have it all together, it just doesn't end.
I don't know, honey. I'm 45. Somebody.
I don't know.
Somebody tell me. Does it?
Because I thought it was going to end.
No.
When I hit 30 or something.
No.
But it keeps going.
I don't know. Talk to somebody else 45 maybe. I'm still scrambled eggs out here. I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know. Listen, these men, I still don't know. I've had several husbands at this point. I still don't know how to spot a fake sometimes.
I thought it gets a little better when you get a little... I don't know either.
So
I don't know. It's kind of rough out here.
Not qualified to answer that question, Micaiah. I don't know. there's like this pressure also, particularly for people in their 20s, and I know it's coming from my son, that if you don't have money and you're not like buying designer things.
Oh my
and,
God, I hate that.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's real pressure.
It's a thing. And I don't know if it came from social media.
Yes.
I don't know where it came from.
It came from music and social media. Yes.
We're in our 20s. Like, everybody doesn't have designer. If you do, wonderful. I love that for you. But everybody doesn't have it. And I think as far as like dating goes, it's like a thing where girls expect for a guy to get them some designer. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not expecting that.
Yeah.
Because let's be real.
I think that that pressure causes a lot of young men to, you know, do illegal shit.
Feel like they gotta have it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I mean, and I can't, I'm not a man, so I don't ever presume to speak to young men. But, like, I would say that that pressure also is absurd.
It is.
And don't succumb to it.
Because how am I expecting a Chanel bag from my man?
From someone 26.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
I can't even get myself a Chanel bag right now. It's going to come. But right now, no, I can't.
Yes,
so
no,
I shouldn't be expecting that.
Manifest it. Work toward it. But don't, and also, like, don't be unrealistic in your expectations, because I think some people are very unrealistic in their expectations of themselves and others.
Yes. So let's talk about your role right now.
Okay.
In 2018, you became the director of communications for The Lightship. So can you give a brief overview about The Lightship and the work that you all do? I know I touched on the work that you that the company does for entrepreneurs, bringing mm-hmm. profits to them, but what else has the Lightship done for those who may not know?
Lightship Foundation is like an incredible organization based here in Cincinnati that really does a lot for Black entrepreneurs in the tech space. The foundation runs programming boot camps that are just education based, that because we realize that a lot of us don't come from backgrounds where we come from entrepreneurs and we come from money and we come from knowing what to do or having guidance around starting businesses and what raising money and things like that. So the foundation runs boot camps and accelerators that teach Black entrepreneurs basically like how to, you know, be business owners. We have also a venture fund mm-hmm. that invests in Black innovators and women. And then every year here in Cincinnati,
yeah, let's
we
talk
do
about it.
Black Tech yes. Week. Yes. which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It brings thousands of people to the city. It's a fucking vibe. Like,
it is. Listen, I went this past year. I loved it.
Yes.
I absolutely love it. I've seen so many people, so many Black people here that I haven't seen before in, like, a professional space. It was fun.
Yes.
The panels were amazing. Loved it. It was organized.
I love that you, like, attended Black Tech Week.
I did. Shout out to Ryan. But I did. And I think that everybody, if you're in any type of tech space, that you should attend Black Tech Week.
Yes.
And if you're not from Cincinnati, definitely travel. Because also it was in Detroit.
We do Black Tech Weekends,
in Detroit,
which is like an abbreviated version of the larger conference in other cities. And for 2023, we went to Detroit. And that
yes.
was lit, too. Like, yeah, yes. Detroit went up. Yeah.
And Issa Rae was here for Black
yes.
Tech Week this year. It was just,
yep.
it was amazing.
Yep.
It
she was the keynote this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was Serena Williams. Yeah.
It is yeah. so nice.
Black Tech Week. I love Black Tech Week, actually. It's like my favorite thing we do.
It's like one of the biggest things for the city.
It is. Oh, and we just recently announced that we're going to be staying in the city of Cincinnati for 3 years at least.
Oh, I love
yep.
that.
Girl Namara was there and everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was very cute. Yeah, I can't wait. I love Black Tech Week here in Cincinnati. I love Cincinnati, actually. I think Cincinnati is a really cool city.
It is.
Yeah.
Cincinnati is really nice.
I'm into it.
It's trying to be up and coming a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I think it just needs to be put on a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Black Tech Week is doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
People probably weren't checking for Cincinnati until they heard about Black Tech Week and they came. It was just so many people. It was packed downtown.
Yeah, it is.
It was a lot.
Yeah,
and
Black Tech
Week
is a vibe.
It took a lot of planning to go into
it. It does.
Black
Shout
Tech
out Siobhan, Lexi. My team is fantastic. The people I work with. But we were talking about Lightship. all of the fantastic work we do is really just driven by an incredible team. Like, we're like a, not a large team, but the company culture is just like top tier. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'll never leave.
I love that.
Honestly, yeah, I love it.
And I love the work that you all do with entrepreneurs, because I know I've had a lot of entrepreneurs on my show as guests, and people don't think that there's a lot of money out there for them.
But that's not true.
You have to find it.
It's leveraging a network, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's a large part of what Lightship does, and that is what Black Tech Week is really about. It's networking.
Yeah.
Content, connection, culture. Like, that's it. You're going to learn. You're going to connect. And it's a vibe. Like, you're just there hanging out. Yeah. Everybody's on the same type time. Like, yeah, it's just cool shit. You know, you've been there.
Yeah. It was everything.
Yeah.
It was everything to me.
Come to Black Tech Week 2024.
Make sure you get your tickets.
Yes.
So I want to leave off on you giving some advice to those who might be feeling stuck or might be taking their 20s super seriously,
yeah,
or just feeling lost right now. What would you tell them?
Nah, just vibe.
Okay.
just vibe. Like, you know, identify something you're good at and monetize it. That's my first advice to anyone in their 20s, right? Just think, what are you good at? Can you make some money at it? Cool, right? Monetize a talent and just, yeah, like, just ride. Just ride with it. Don't think too hard about it. You know, don't spend up your money like it's like, again, you're not in fucking retirement here in 5 years. So you can spend your money, have a good time, right? But like, you know, you're growing into responsibility and it's all just, it's chilling. Don't feel too much pressure and don't ever make permanent decisions based on like temporary feelings. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I loved having this conversation with you as well to talk about our 20s. It was great. I love how you were so open and honest. And honestly, it's inspired me to not take too serious, because I've been taking it serious.
Don't.
Too serious.
What's up? Where are we at tonight?
Right. But thank you so much. I really appreciate you being a guest on Something About Our 20s.
Well, thank you for having me. I had a good time.
Thank you.
It was fun.
That's a wrap.